Jesus is responding to a question that was asked in verse 29, but he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus follows with this reply. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among three thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for you. This is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure each preacher in this house has preached from this portion of Scripture. We always hear about certain ones in this particular story. I mean, we know about the man that went down and fell among thieves. Some people say, well, he shouldn't have been at that place. He shouldn't have went down. He shouldn't have went there. You know, I'm not as spiritual as you are, I guess, but sometimes life happens to each of us. So regardless, he found himself in a bad place, and he got hurt. So we hear of the thieves, and they robbed him and stripped him and left him for half dead. I've pastored people like that before. I'm just continuing pastor appreciation is what this message will do here tonight. I don't think there's none of them people here in this house, but so we know about the thieves, and then we know about the priest and the Levite. The Bible says, and there was a certain priest that came down that way, and undoubtedly he was on the same road that the man that got hurt was on, so must not have been in too bad part of town. They's all journeying the same road. It's called life. And the Bible says that when he saw him, he just passed by on the other side. I have seen preachers like that before. I've seen churches like that before. And then there came, the Bible tells us about the Levite, that when he saw him, he went to him and he looks at him. Scratches his head a little bit. I can't do nothing for him. And then he goes his way. And then the Bible tells us about the certain Samaritan, and he's always referred to as the Good Samaritan, that when he saw him, they all three saw him. But when he saw him, notice what the Scripture says, he had compassion on him. What was the difference? It was the way he looked on him. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him. The Scripture says that he bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine, and set him on his own beast. He took what was his to help somebody else. And then the Bible says that he brought him to an end. So we've got the man that fell among thieves. We've got the thieves. So that's two different parties. We've got the priest that journeys on the other side of the road. And then we've got the Levite. But there's somebody else in this story here tonight that I want to point out to you. Notice what the scripture says. He brought him to an end and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. Gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Up in that far right-hand corner, you see the guy, the innkeeper. Go ahead, brother. If the Lord would help me, I want to preach with this thought in mind. The innkeeper. The innkeeper. And he said unto the host, take care of him. Go with me in your mind's eye. You know, the biggest nation is imagination. So go with me in your mind's eye. I can see us walking down a dusty road. And this is a road that many people have traveled. And we're walking down this dusty road. And we come across a little knoll, a little hill. And just as we top this little hill, there's a sign blowing in the wind. You follow me now? Can you smell the dust? You get where I'm going? This dusty road, and many travelers have walked down this road. We see this sign just blowing in the wind. It's a sign that is worn and weathered by time. And on this sign, it says, the Lighthouse Inn. The Lighthouse Inn. Now, I had to Google this. But on the sign that I want to talk to us about tonight, there's a sign that says the Lighthouse Inn, proprietor John A. Goodfellow. John A. Goodfellow. And so we walk down this little old lane to, we see this beautiful cottage, this inn that is setting off this road here. And we see a path that many travelers have walked. And when we get there, we feel such an awesome spirit or awesome feeling. It's as if we're walking into a sanctuary. It's like we're standing on holy ground. And we see a sign on the door says, come on in. The house is always open. And when we walk in that house, we walk in that inn, it's as if we're walking right into the presence of God Almighty. We hear a voice from upstairs, and his voice says, I'll be down shortly, but just make yourself at home. And so as we begin to look around in this inn, on the walls there was letter after letter after letter. All on the walls of this Lighthouse Inn. And we began to walk up to a letter. And there, written in a feeble hand, was these words. Due to the care that I received at this inn, I was on a road to destruction. But one day I met a man that turned my life around. I thought I was doing everything right, but it was all for the wrong reason.
I actually thought I was doing God's work. But one day God revealed himself to me in a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. And due to the care that I received at this end, I went on to write book after book after book after book of the very Word of God, signed by your faithful servant Paul. We see another letter that was written somewhere around the time where the writer realized that the just must live by faith. And we see the signature Martin Luther. I see letter after letter. We come on down, and there's even letters that was in the 18th and 19th century where D.L. Moody realized that there goes I but for the grace of God. We go on down, and then we see another letter. Dear sir, due to the kindness that I received while under your care at this end, my life was in shambles. My wife and I were separated. Our home was torn apart. But due to a young preacher by the name of Kenny Morris that preached to me and my wife about Christ, I found Christ and he turned my life around. And due to the care that I received and the comfort that I received while I was at your inn, I now have become an innkeeper myself and now have boys or innkeepers themselves. Signed, the only way that I know anybody in this world can write, Russell McDonald. If I would take time here tonight, I believe your picture and your letter is on that wall as well. Does your mind go back to that place or that person that took care of you? Does your mind go there to that lighthouse inn where you were at? I'm sure it was every one of us. So I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me, on the innkeeper. On the innkeeper. Notice in our text that he brought him to an inn and said, take care of him. Take care of him. And the Bible tells us that there is a man in the story here that had been wounded and left for dead. You know, as a pastor, there is a calamity that cannot be erased by us. Brother Tim, that man that was wounded and left for half dead, when he arrived at that inn, that innkeeper could not change the fact that that man had been wounded. The people that walk in the door of this church, you have no control over what has happened in their life. Come on here now. This is not a judgment hall. This is an emergency room. Did you hear what I said? This is not a judgment hall. This is an emergency room. There is a calamity which cannot be erased by us. Hey, life happens to people every day. I mean, there the man that is born, a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. Come on here now. There's people that are going through some hard times and God has sent them our way. God has sent them to our church. God has sent them in your life and my life, and it is our job to do our best to take care of them. Come on, but you know what? We want the good sinners. We want the good sinners. We want those that their credit is good. They don't have money trouble. I don't know what planet you're living on, but if you're in today's society, at one time or another, you're going to have money trouble.
I got more month than I do money, if you understand what I'm trying to say. By the time I think I get the ends to meet, somebody moves the ends. It's called reality. I'm glad that, come on here now. I'm glad that when God decided to give a pastor to this church, it was a man that had a heart regardless of what case you're in. I like what Brother Lamar said. Some of you didn't deserve two chances, much less the 19. I don't know who it was, but somebody here must have 19 chances. Whoa. That's what the man said, didn't he? Oh, hallelujah. There's a calamity that cannot be erased by us. Oh, God, help us. We need, as people, it's not the job of the innkeeper to change, but it's his job to care. Oh, hallelujah. What we want to do, we want to magnify everybody else's faults. Oh, hallelujah. And we want to minimize ours. Huh? Bless God. You've got a big magnifying glass. And you're looking at, oh, hallelujah. See, I've pastored before. I stayed at one church 3.5 years. Made me change my whole outlook about the coming of the Lord. I believe we're going through three, at least mid-trib. I'm just kidding. I'm a pre-tribber. Hallelujah. I don't want to get out of line here. But we want to magnify everybody's faults. And then we want people to get a telescope to look at ours. Oh, hallelujah. There's people that are hurting, that life has stripped them, has wounded them, and left them for half dead. Oh, they don't need you to read the right act to them. No, they need somebody to care. One of the things that my son, this is what Kyle has told me about this church. And I'm going to tell you what, preacher's kids can be skeptical at times. Because, to be honest, they see too much. Kyle got me thirsty talking about water. Hallelujah. Can I just take my time to preach? I know some of y'all got excited because Brother Shannon was going to preach and he's about 25 minutes, but give me about five. How many of you give me five more? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. All right, we got an hour right here tonight. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Where was I at? And you know, we've got folks that are hurting, folks that need God to help them. Yeah. In this world out there, the world don't care. The church world as a whole don't care. But we've got a pastor here that cares about us. And this is where I was going. I knew I'd get around to my train of thought there. I was working on it. You might not know it, but I was working to try to find out what I thought about. But this is what Kyle has said about this church. Kyle said, I feel like the people care genuinely. Now where, if this man has told me that he loves me one time, he's told me at least 100. Talk to him on the phone. Man, I love you. Do you think he's using that as a filler? No. But I believe it's because he loves me. One attribute that you need from this pastor is that you would display that same kind of love as well. Because there's a world out there that's hurting. There's a world out there that needs the gospel. It's the letter that killeth, but the spirit that quickeneth. I'm going to tell you what, we can put a list of rules and regulation on the wall, a list of, and what I put on there, you're going to race and you're going to put whatever you want on there, and none of us are going to be able to live what one another wants wants to live. We better live according to what the Bible says, because if you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to do what the Bible says. But we have got to love one another. Come on here now. I don't care what your name is. If you don't love one another, the greatest commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah. And I feel love from this pastor. It ain't not something sloppy, agape. I believe he's man enough and he's close enough to God enough that when you do wrong, now my dad would say, that, you know, I'm fixing to whip you and this hurts me more than it does you. Come on here now. I got whooped from everything from a water hose to a board. And I'll tell you what, it ain't going to hurt you to discipline them children. Now, Kyle has told me, you need to get on to Hampy. No, absolutely, entirely not. I'm not going to whoop Hampy. No, sir. But anyhow, let's go back to preaching. But I believe this man loves us enough. He brought him to the inn and said, take care of him. There's a calamity out there that cannot be erased by us. You know the mess your life is in. This preacher didn't cause it. Come on here now. I mean, a lot of people get in trouble them their own self. I have done some stupid things in my life. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. And so have you. You ain't always been so smart. You have signed your name on a dotted line, and I know what you did. You put in a prayer request, and you said, Lord, if it's your will for me to get this new car and let it work out, you know you got credit enough to buy the car. And then when they send you that coupon book that looks like a Sears and Roebuck catalog, you're going to come whining to the pastor. Oh, no, what I done got myself into. You signed the note. Woo, that's good preaching. I have done some stupid things in my life. I have caused some things, but it wasn't a job of that innkeeper to right every wrong. Brother Daniel, and I'm so delighted and thrilled of what God has done in your life and what God is doing in your life. But we make a lot of mistakes in our life, and things happen. And as much as we like to point the finger at somebody else, but it's me that got myself in this trouble. And so there's a calamity that cannot be erased by us. As much as I'd like to erase it, but it cannot be erased by us. Often, they come to our church. Oh, hallelujah. They come and they leave worse off than what they came. I know of one pastor, this was his concept. He gave them 30 days to meet his agenda. 30 days to line up to his criteria. And if they didn't, he would tell them, you'd be better off going somewhere else. Goodness gracious alive. I'm glad the Lord didn't do that to me. Praise God. I'm glad the Lord did. I believe our pastor here, as Brother Lamar talks about today, I believe he sees some good in us. Come on here now. It is the job of the innkeeper just to take care of his people. That's all he can do. That's all he can do. Nothing else. Oh, hallelujah. There's a calamity that cannot be erased by us. Hey, we are dealing with some people that are disabled. I want to know, are these altars handicap accessible? I'm going to sit down, I'm going to let you shout a while. I know you want to kick this carpet up because, are these altars handicap accessible? Huh? We're dealing with people that are disabled over what life has brought about their way. Huh? Some of you can't understand it because you're not there. Well, I tell you what I'd do if I was in that situation. Whoa, 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 whoa. You're treading on very thin ice there. Huh? You don't know what you would do. Huh? You don't know what you would do if you was having to look out the same window that they're having to look out of and walking down the same path they're having. Come on here now. Oh, God. Life has disabled a lot of people. I wonder, are our altars handicap accessible? But I believe they are. Hallelujah. Brother Mark knows there are certain guidelines that a builder, when he's building a commercial building, that he's got to follow in order to make that building accessible for the handicap. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I'm going to tell you, over 2,000 years ago, on an old rugged cross, come ye sinners, lost and lonely, Jesus' blood will set you free. For he saved the worst among ye when he saved the wretch like me. Oh, I know, yes, I know that Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner free. Yes, I know, yes, I know. I want to tell you that over 2,000 years ago, God in his infinite wisdom, that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, I want to tell you, hey, he made a way for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Come ye sinners, I want to tell you here tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ, regardless of where you're at, regardless of what you're going through, God's blood can set you free. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there at the Statue of Liberty, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest tossed to me, and I will lift my lamp beside the golden door. Oh, hallelujah. I've heard my dad say this many times. God, send us the ones that the others don't want. God, send us a whoremonger. Send us a prostitute. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Oh, if there was ever a day and a hour that we need a church, but there's a lot of churches that are, they don't know what to do with people that are in crisis. Give us a church. Not only is he an innkeeper, but you're an innkeeper. You're an innkeeper. You're an innkeeper. Every one of us, we've got our part in this church. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Jerry, you've got your part that nobody else can do. Sister Rita, you got your part. I've got my part. God has put us here at this time. God, in his infinite wisdom, and here in the year of 2019, that God would put this congregation together at this time. Oh, hallelujah. God would put this body of believers together at this time because he knew there was people out there that were hurting, people that needed an answer, people that needed some hope, people that needed some help. Oh, hallelujah. And God has put us together for such a time as this.
Oh, hallelujah.
You can't do it by yourself. But I'm going to tell you what. Oh, hallelujah. If he's got some help. Come here, Brother Jason. Get over there. I'm going to tell you what. The three of us together, I think we could probably take on a few of these younger ones. I'm going to tell you what, old men don't play fair. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you something. I love being here I hope you feel my heart. We're here together at this time, at this place. God, I don't know, he's lying to the universe. At this time, for this body of believers to be together. It ain't no telling what God could do if we would all just get together. I don't want to hear about what happened in days gone by. That's well and good. I want to see it now. Oh, hallelujah. And if some of these younger ones don't experience Pentecost the way you experience Pentecost, mom and dad, that it will become a thing of the past. If they don't hear you speaking in tongues, they're not going to speak in tongues. If they don't see you worshiping God, they're not going to worship God. Come on here now. I want to tell us we've got to have one another. And I want to tell you what. A threefold cord is not easily broken. You're my brother. You're my sister. You can sit down. Oh, hallelujah. We have got to have one another. Calamity that cannot be erased by us. I don't want to get hung up on this. But we cannot change the fact people are hurting. But we can help those people. Oh, hallelujah. We can help those people. Oh, I'm trying to hurry. Oh. And so because of that calamity that cannot be erased by us, the challenge that seems so enormous to us, our job as keepers of the end is not to change you. Our job is just to take care of you. I can tell you what you need to do, but unless God helps you, you're going to be, and I hope this don't offend you, and I'm not trying to, this is probably the wrong analogy. You can wash old pig. I ain't calling you a pig, don't think that. But you can wash old pig. But you get that pig the first opportunity, where's it going to go? It'll go back to its mire. And until, and we can dress them up, but until they get it in their heart, you cannot legislate righteous living. Did you hear what I said? You cannot legislate righteous living. Because what'll happen if you legislate it, they're going to break it. But if they get it in the heart, if they'll get that, what them young people were singing about tonight, that spirit washed, Holy Ghost baptized, I'm going to tell you what, if they get that, you get that in your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, I feel the Lord in this house. Come here, Kristen. This is my niece. Oh, hallelujah. I see a desire in her heart to live for God, regardless of what has happened in her life. Oh, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost here. It's not something that's been legislated to her. No, but it's a desire. Huh? That desire is what will make all the difference in your life. Oh, hallelujah. I can do that. That's my niece. Boy, I feel the Lord here. And because cause of this calamity that cannot be erased by us. There's a challenge that seems so enormous to us. What can we do? Just do something. Just do something. He said, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. I appreciate how you people have been friendly to us. If you let three services go by and somebody new's here and you don't speak to them, Sister Veda said they won't be back. Oh, hallelujah. Oh. Oh. Don't critique them. God brought them here. Oh, just care for them. Just care for them. Jesus, with the multitude, they were hungry. They were weary. They were needing food. His disciples said, send them away. But Jesus said, set them down. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this challenge that seems so enormous to us. Legion, that outcast of society. Oh, the local church had locked him their doors. We can't do nothing with him. But I want to tell you here tonight, we are his hands. Oh, we are his hands. We are his feet. We are his ears. We are his eyes. Just do something. Oh, hallelujah. Just do something. Oh. Don't just tell them you care. Show them. This is show and tell. Show them you care. I can tell my wife all day long I love her, but she is a type of woman that she likes to be showed. I mean, even taking out the trash is, I mean, it gives her butterflies. They all like that. Oh, hallelujah. And just one kind word. Just one kind word. I'm praying for you. Brother John and his precious bride, dear Lynn, have been so good to send us text messages. You don't know. I'm looking forward to the friendship that we're going to develop. Oh, hallelujah. Just show them that you care. It's an enormous challenge. I know. But God wouldn't have sent them. He said, I'm giving you 2 pence. And on the morrow, if that is not sufficient, don't lay it to their charge. Never throw up in somebody's face what you've done for them. Hello? Never throw up in somebody's face what you've done for them. Do as unto the Lord. Do as unto the Lord. I've gave people money. I knew what they were going to do, but I did it as unto the Lord. Oh, this challenge that seems so enormous. Just do something. Just do something. Oh. Oh, I gotta say this. We got 12 gifts of the Spirit. Now you think I'm preaching heresy, don't you? How many gifts of the Spirit are in the Bible? Anybody? Gifts of the Spirit, how many? 9. There's really 12.
No. There's three that are in operation that are not mentioned in the Bible, but they're in operation in our church. The gift of criticism. How many of you have it here tonight? The gift of criticism. You have it? Oh, this altar's open right now, brother. Huh? The gift of criticism. I know a church somewhere in this great United States of America. I'm going to tell you what. Not everybody likes Southern gospel music. The Inspirations are not one of my favorite groups. And I know a church that there's some people that got so bent out of shape over songs that were sung like I'm Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized that they were singing here tonight. Oh, God, help me. I just want to show them that I care about them. Huh? But we got those that got the gift of criticism. And then we got those that got the gift of skepticism. Huh? Well, they've tried every church down the road. Huh? They've been to this church and that church and this church and that, skeptical about everything. Everything that the pastor wants to do. You know. Skeptical. And then the gift of pessimism. It ain't never going to work. I'll tell you that. Huh? How many of you got all three of those gifts? Don't point them out. Sit down. Woo! Oh, but I say God send them in. It don't matter. It don't matter where what they've been. It don't matter what their condition of their life is in. Send them in. Send them in. And so there is a calamity that cannot be erased by us. I'm getting ready to close. The calamity that cannot be erased by us. A challenge that seems enormous to us. How am I going to help them? There is compassion that must be expressed from us. If they do not know and they cannot feel that you love them and you care about them, you will never be able to help them. You'll never be able to help them. But what I like, I told Kyle, I said, here just the other day we was talking. I said, what I like about this church is people that will get in the altar and pray. Where's she at? One of these girls was seeking the Lord here. It was you, wasn't it? One of the main ones that I saw praying with her was Sister Helen Furby. Huh? That's many generations different there. But this older generation was wanting this younger generation. Oh, hallelujah. And I watched Brother John as he was praying for Brother Daniel here other night. I mean, just tears just pouring off his face. Huh? Two different people from two different walks of life. But that common bond of Christ. Hallelujah. That common bond of the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sins, it makes us brothers and sisters together. Oh, that's what binds us together, people. That's what's going to cause us to be able to be strong and do exploits for God in this day and hour that we live in. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Compassion is not the condoning of sin. Well, pastor, do you know what that person's doing? Oh, hallelujah. Give them a little time.
Go an extra mile. Give them a little grace. I hadn't even told, I told my wife to remind her, remind me about a guy by the name of Joe Griffin. Joe has worked for me. And I had to say, hit the road, Jack. He talked to me very, he used some choice language. And I didn't take too kindly to it. Now, I didn't use choice language back at him. By no means. Sweet water and bitter water don't come out of the same spigot. Did you hear what I said? You can't speak in tongues and cuss all at the same breath. You got a ghost, but it ain't the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. It just don't happen. But he talked very bad to me. He sent me a message this morning. He said, man, I'm sorry for the way I talked to you. I really would like to have my job back, and things were so much better when I had y'all in my life. And if you could see it in your heart, oh man, why you gotta talk that way? If you could see it in your heart, and I'm talking about a young man, his life is in shambles. I could set him down. He knows what's wrong in his life. And oftentimes, as a pastor, you're trying to help people. You know you can't fix everything with a hammer. You can't do it. Well, let's get a bigger hammer. It ain't going to work. That guy worked on that truck, worked on that truck, worked on that truck. Finally, he went inside, got a shotgun, and he shot the thing. Well, the truck still wouldn't run. There's some things that take finesse. Hello? And you can't fix everything by just beating it over the head. This pulpit should never be a whipping post. Now y'all ought to be shouting right now. Here I gave you opportunity. But let's give the pastor a little room to do his job. Oh, if it was your daughter or if it was your son, oh, hallelujah. Oh, compassion is not condoning sin, neither is it condemning sin, but it is caring for the sinner. He drew a circle that shut me out, heretic rebel, a thing to flout, but love and I had a mind to win. We drew a circle and took him in. Hallelujah. There's a world out there, because of what they went to, they're skeptical. But just love them. Just love them. Just love them. And that's what you and I need to do here tonight. While they come together with a song, I'm going to close. How long did I preach, Katie? Was it too long? Whew. I have long ceased to pray, Lord Jesus, have compassion on a lost world. I remember the day and hour when I seemed to hear the Lord rebuking me for making such a prayer. He seemed to say to me, have had compassion on a lost world. I have had compassion on the lost world. Now it is up to you to have compassion. God's done what he's supposed to do. Now it's our job to do what we're supposed to do. How we do it? We do it by love. We do it by listening. We do it by reaching. And we do it by hearing. Can you say amen? We have got to have God to help us. In closing here tonight, let's stand all over this house. There's a difference. Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work I can do. There's a difference that needs to be made. There's a difference that can be made. And there's a difference that you can be make if we make that difference by love. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, we thank you for your word.